Hi, everyone. It's me, Neil Brennan. This is the Blocks Podcast. My guest today is a guy who, let me read his plugs. He has a new hour special called Dirt Nap, which is going to be on 800 Pound Gorillas Media website on March 4th. He's going to be on a tour, and the name of the tour is It's Not a Tour, It's the Job. Kyle Kinane is my guest today, everybody. KyleKinane.com for tickets and all that shit. Kyle, welcome to the
program. Hey, buddy. He sounded thrilled.
Kyle, welcome to the program.
He sounded like you judged every word in that sentence.
No, because I was trying. Well, that's just my my instrument.
I know. We've worked together
before. I play judgmental horn. Even if I don't want to, it comes
You can
out
retune
that,
you know.
Well, how?
It's a tuning issue.
Wait, I've been trying to retune it.
There's a whole,
have you not,
there's
have
a whole
you
scale
not
in that.
Tracked
in
my drug usage?
I've tried so much stuff.
Clearly, this guy doesn't watch the Netflix specials. Kyle, we know each other in passing. I would say there's a mutual respect. I think you think I'm probably a little, I don't know why I'm starting this like Marc Maron, like with accusations.
Here we go. Yeah.
I consider us more categorically similar than different.
I'll take that.
In that we both respect joke writing.
We care about our output.
We care about what we're saying. We care about how we're saying it. We care about if there's any integrity to our being and our approach to things. I'm probably flashier than you, but in our essences, I would say that we're similar.
Like, you care how things go. Like, do you write off bad sets? Or
no.
Do you take them personally?
I take them, you're not going to believe this, far more personally than the good sets.
I think anybody who is unaffected by a bad set is a sociopath.
I think there may not be full sociopath. They're at least a narcissist. But here's my question for you. What do you attack within? What's your first, if you bomb, what happened? Don't even think specifically about a set.
It's always me.
What do you
me.
Think happened?
It's always me.
But what about you?
Didn't have a plan going into it.
Mm-hmm.
Thought too much of myself.
I know,
like
I call that my
it.
Menu. Okay. I didn't have my menu for the night.
I got this idea. It's going to be great. And I'll ride on that for 10 minutes.
Never happened once.
No. And it bombs in the first minute. You're like, oh, scrambling.
Minute. I first three sentences and I'm like, fuck this.
Too many drinks. Still too many drinks before a short
not
set.
Not a problem for me.
Yeah. You're not into it. And I'm not drunk, but just like, oh, I dulled the blade a little.
Sure.
And that doesn't like, these people are all sitting here watching a show. I like to be in the room watching who's up before me and what's the temperature of the room and how it's going.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of being prepared.
Because
then it's like, oh, somebody did a joke about this.
And if you're drinking, you're not, or you're not.
Or I am, but I'm like talking to somebody next to me. And I'm,
right.
I'm like, you know, I'm socializing. I'm in the room, but I'm being a dick in the back that's talking and making jokes while the comic's on stage. Hopefully not too loud, but that volume changes on the number of drinks. But it's always something that I did.
Is it preparation? Because I can go into my essence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like what you just said, where you're like, every word of that sounded judgmental. I didn't think I was sounding judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't trying to sound judgmental. I was trying to sound something, but not judgmental. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's where I go wrong. When I say I go wrong, it's like, that's in my essence. I go like, I need a time machine to interpret all of my life leading up to this.
Oh, well, okay. If you want to crack that egg, then the disposability of what we're doing, like,
no, not disposability. What is your outlook on life?
That's what I mean, where I'm like, what good is this doing?
That's never my issue. My issue is like, I really want to do this and I really want to be good at this. But the part of me that writes jokes is so sour that it comes out in the performance. Whereas if I were slicker, I would write jokes from a bitter place and go up there with a smile.
And I would always try and fix myself by the joke writing. I would always be like, oh, if my reaction to something is like, well, that's stupid. I'd be like, wait, is it stupid? Or am I not allowing myself to look further into it? I'd make it hard for myself because I think the results are better. When I'm like, well, if there's something I immediately want to shoot down, then I will try to praise it or find out why it's my problem that I'm shooting it down.
That's a nuanced approach.
Yeah, well, cynicism's so goddamn exhausting.
Yeah.
You seen this stuff? It's stupid. Look at that. It's stupid. This thing over here, it's pretty stupid. Maybe you're stupid. Maybe you're a drag to be around and your attitude sucks. And I can't imagine, like, in 7 minutes, that's probably a pretty funny set, but I can't imagine watching a half hour or an hour.
So you have seen my Netflix special.
Something's wrong with me.
I want to get off the specifics of stand-up and, like, what do you think, like, about life? What's it like to be you?
Man, it's pretty simple, dude. And sometimes I'm bummed out that I'm that simple. But, yeah, been with my partner for 10 years.
Oh, you have been? All right,
yeah,
great.
Yeah. I didn't know that. 10 years, just not getting married. Both of us are like, for what? Should we do this? Like, I don't know why, unless one of us gets in like a health insurance situation, which is not the reason.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not here. So sometimes I'm like, oh, I should be more, the arbitrary idea of age and time, 47. Well, when so-and-so is this age, you had had a business, had this, and they're like, without sounding, hopefully not sounding arrogant, I think I crushed it. I think I won. Jokes pay the bills, and I go and I ride bicycles for fun, and I have a room with guitars and drums in it. I can't play any of them, but when I'm home alone, I make a bunch of noise. I have a smile on my face. That night, I live like Tom Hanks in Big when he finally accepts that he's big and he just puts a trampoline in his apartment. That's it. And I know to some people it might sound juvenile or like, when are you going to grow up? For what? Like, what? Tell me the reason. Tell me why. Because you like doing your own taxes? Why? What? Tell me what the reason is. And so that's, and knowing that, checking in with myself on that, puts everything else in perspective of like, am I really going to get pissed off that this person got that, or I should have more of this? Really grateful for what I have. The kids thing was never in the cards for me. Wasn't interested in it. Sometimes I'm like, am I a sociopath? Because there's just no part of me like, oh, I should have a child.
Well, that's that would give my life purpose. What I'm interested in is like, did you not? I think there could just be like, I'm not interested. And then other times I'm like, am I not interested? Or is this some sort of like vendetta against my parents? Because like, they were so shitty. I'm not even going to bother. See that? You know what I mean? It's like when you...
They weren't. My parents were great. I almost felt like the kids came in and kind of messed up having them even more fun. You know, that part where you realize that your parents were just people before you came along. I mean, they're still just people. But they were just... Like, do you ever think, like, would you be friends with your parents if you were just a contemporary of them?
It was so long ago that, like, it would have been, like, my life's very different from what their life was.
Yeah. But, like, if social circumstances were the same, you were in the same town, you met your parents.
I know what you're asking me, and I don't know. I would think my mom was sort of like a nice lady, probably.
Yeah.
But they weren't, my mom raised 10 kids, so, like, that was her identity. Yeah. That was who she was. Like, there was no and all. There wasn't no and also, but there was like not a ton of and also. She was this. She was just kind of that. And my dad was a tax attorney and kind of a mean-spirited guy. So like, probably not. But it sounds like you might have. It sounds like you were friends with your mom and probably still are.
But that's what trying to understand. Yeah, I'm friends with both my parents. It's just trying to understand them as people. If you can somehow remove the parent-child relationship from them. And this isn't a psychological question. I'd be like, oh, I'd be curious to know, because you see how your friends are with their kids.
Has your mom ever told you, like, yeah, I wasn't... I've heard people's parents say, like, if I were going to do it over again, I don't think I'd have kids.
No. My mom wouldn't allow herself to say that. And she does. She, like, her life, like, the best thing I can do is just call her and just bullshit.
She likes you.
She's never hung up a phone call.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. She wants, and she'll just go. She'll go, like, she's talked to wrong
numbers
for 45
minutes. She'll go with
anybody.
Yeah, she'll go with anybody. But she likes you.
Yeah, we get along. I mean, your parents, you have your squabbles and you don't see eye to eye on stuff.
Are the arguments ever emotional, or is it just like, you're voting for what?
No, it's not even that. It's just like, you know, it's like your parents want to see how you run your life one way, and you get old enough and you think, well, you should be doing this with your life. It's like,
yeah,
we're not getting anywhere with this. just accept how somebody is, somebody's going to make their choices and that's how they're going to live their life.
Yeah.
And why, like, to think, you know, everybody thinks they know what's best for each other. That's kind of a problem in the family. Everybody thinks they know, without understanding the circumstances why somebody does something, they think they know what's best because they know it's best for them. And acknowledging that what's best for you is not what's best for somebody else is a big, that's a roadblock, I think.
Did it take you a while to come to that? With everyone or with your parents first?
No,
and then
my
the world?
Parents, it's kind of having to explain, like, you know, it's like, hey, there's a lot of ways to do this. I understand that you are choosing this way to approach it, but there's a lot of ways. And just because that way works for you doesn't mean it works for other people. And that's a bit of a, you know, there's control issues there. And so realize, but instead of me being 15-year-old Kyle, like, fuck that, I'm not going to do it. It's like, well, listen, hey, I understand that. I see where you could, that is a good way to do it, but I am going to choose to do it this way. And if it fails, know that it's only failing on paper. I'm learning from why it's failing. Like allowing somebody to learn by failure was not something that happened in my family.
Mm.
Like, I just bought a house and I'm learning all the stuff now as a grown man.
Which stuff? Finances or like wood? Or
wood, like fixing things,
yeah.
Taking care of stuff. Cause it was just like, I just like, we just want to get this thing done. There wasn't like teaching moments so often. And it wasn't a lot of it, like, you know, you're from a city and it was like, so this sport, this, that, it was not a lot of influence put onto the kids of like, oh, they were into this thing. My dad was work midnights and then was around. I mean, he had motorcycles, he had cars, he had an airplane at one point. I remember being like, oh, that sounded cool. What happened? He's like, you. I'm like, all right. Well, I didn't know you had to give up all your interests because of kids. But I mean, he works with airplanes. He likes what he does.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a lot. And then Sundays, we're going to watch the Bears game, or we're going to take you to the sport.
He was sort of a loner?
Yeah, a little bit.
So he was like mildly interested in you guys.
Yeah. Well, I also didn't give him much to be interested in. Like, once my sister got into sports, it's like, well, this is what you do. You go and you cheer at the volleyball game.
It is a weird thing where like families in some ways are just four people that don't know each other that well.
Yeah.
In a car. And you're just kind of like, ah.
Well, and imagine having a kid that doesn't like, I like drawing and everything and I was pretty good at art, but how, you don't cheer for art. You encourage art, but it's, yeah, like, that's, wow, good job.
There's nothing,
but it's not, yeah, like, let's rally, let's like cheer,
let's
for
go
the,
to the art off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On Saturday.
We're gonna crush this museum, you know?
Yeah.
We're gonna wear our favorite Monet paintings on our shirt. We're, yeah, Team Monet.
Brewing other paintings.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck this one, man. This guy's so that was like, I went from that into all the punk rock stuff, which your parents aren't supposed to understand.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. It's like, look at how different I am. And then my mom would come to every show. I'm like, well, this defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
And everybody, like, my mom gets along with everybody. He's like, yeah, Ms. Canane's here. And like, that was like, well, all right. Well, I still like this music a lot. I'm not trying to take down governments. I just like faster, louder music.
Sure.
And mom's here. So, and she lets us practice in the house.
So it sounds like you were like your home life was pretty peaceful.
It was frustratingly utopian because I needed something to be different.
We're going to say your dad was a little remote, but understandably.
Yeah, work nights. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do? And then are your issues with the world more pronounced? Meaning like, are you sort of like, do you feel like you fit into the world or not especially?
No, that's just like this outsider status thing. Like high school was still, I was going to be the funny guy. I was good in school. I was a smart ass that the teachers would let get away with it.
Yeah.
So I would still do good in the class. And I would show, I'd be a smart ass within the context of also, sure, showing that I'm paying, yeah, exactly, attention. And so I got away with being that guy. I fucked everything up in college. That's why I just drank and was just no hard drugs, just pot and booze and just basically just put pause on, you know, just stunted adulthood for, took me 7 years
by
to get a bachelor's.
30 years.
Okay. Yeah. But you were doing things.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything. I started stand up and I really thought like, this is it. I lived at home till I was 26 and I was doing open mics. That's what I was doing.
But what's your take on the world? Like, do you, cause you seem, just based on your act.
There's prescription cat food out there. Why? Who's trying to get the cat food? That's not, ooh, okay, man, hook me up. Hook me up with that Hill's prescription, man.
Like you're not with all of it. You're not like no. crazy about the way things are set up. But are you like bitter or are you just more like, ah?
No, I feel like in the most spiritual sense, the best I can hope for is that I go through this world without making it worse. And maybe it's a little bit better because of some jokes. Maybe I let somebody, and I know that sounds very altruistic, but like, oh, did you leave in a better mood than you came in, or you're in a shit mood? And so you do listen to comedy, and my comedy isn't just dick and farts. Like maybe there's something in there that like made you like feel a little less alone. Then that's it. And the fact that that emotion that somebody got from it, that's the imposter syndrome. Like, oh, I'm glad you feel better, but that's a gesture of opening a door to me. You don't get paid for that. That's just
the least a human being.
I'm not
being
giving the money away. Don't get me wrong.
Right, but it's the least a human being can do. It's like, well, if you're going to talk, at least have it be fucking somewhat pro-social or
that,
like,
well, that's, I mean, that was my whole social group was like, if you're going to complain about something, it better be funny. Because otherwise, who cares? Why are you complaining? Life, it's very Midwestern. Life is never good. Life is fine at its best point. But mostly, it kind of sucks. And we all agree it kind of sucks. So if we're going to sit around with it sucking, and we're going to talk about it sucking, you better be pretty funny about it. And that's the type of humor that I grew up with. Like, oh, like if my buddy Bob had a bad day, that was the best time. Like, oh, Bob had a shit day. We got to get him over. Because he was going to be the most fun That's dude funny. To listen to complain about. And then he'd feel better. Because we're all laughing with him. I mean, we're all burnouts delivering pizza. We're all fucking losers. But yet we're having the best time of our life because we're complaining about being losers. I mean, we're not really doing anything to change it. But we're also, I mean, maybe we're kind of stunted it because of how much fun we were having in that moment being losers together. Like, why would we change this? What are you going to do? Get a degree? Yeah, our one buddy got a degree. Now he can't hang out. What's Friday night? We're getting stoned behind the pizza place, laughing harder than we're going to laugh in the rest of our lives.
You never felt trapped by that? Because I think some people would feel
no,
like...
No, eventually it got to that point. Because that's good. That's a good thing to have like when you're 17 or 18. Then there's a point where I'm like, oh, wait. My friends are now graduated college and have houses, and I'm still doing this. What's happening? And so I just moved to LA. So I just ran away from all the reminders of what I should be doing at my age, and I moved to LA.
And what did you think of LA?
I thought it was great. Because it's everybody choosing that era in their life and staying there.
In LA.
Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, I was this character from my hometown. Now I'm this character here. Like, it's obnoxious.
You think it's the same character or a different character?
I think it's a heightened version of that character. I mean, you can't. There are like the reinvention stories out here. But I do like LA for the fact that you could still go to the Rainbow Room and see some dude that was like his heyday was 1989. And he doesn't want to let it go. And so he's still going to go and sit there and relive the old times. Like, I can have it, man. Are you happy? Then let these dipshits laugh at you like their fashion's not going to go out of style at some point.
It's Seinfeld's joke about it. It's
all fathers essentially dress in the clothing style of the last good year of their lives.
They just dress like that forever.
Yeah. Which
is true.
Hey, this came back around, man.
No, I know. Right. I was going to say, you live in Portland, but you dress like that before.
I've been this guy since.
I feel like Portland like came and got you like, come on, it's
God,
time.
Thank God I was never successful during my rockabilly years because the hair fell out and I couldn't hang on to that one.
So are you judgmental or no? You have rules for thee, but not for me, which I'm interested in.
Oh, yeah. Internally, it's something I'm trying to actively work on. Just quietly, I've judged every single person that I've walked by when that time frame could be used with just thinking about bettering myself. Or I'm like, look at this fucking guy.
What's the premise of your judgment?
Usually just superiority.
What's funny is I would think that your judgment, like when I opened by saying like, I feel like we're more categorically similar than different. Where I was always felt like I would project your judgment of me have been like, look at this fucking hotshot fucking thinks he's blah blah blah. Where it like, oh, you think you're better than me, but you're telling me that your judgment was actually like, I'm better than you.
Well, It's because it's the, oh, you're better than me. Well, let me tell myself why I'm better than you. You know,
right.
One hand shakes the other in that yeah. situation. But it shortchanges every interaction. If you, I mean, especially it's an LA thing. It's a status thing. It's a comedy thing. I mean, LA doesn't make it difficult to judge somebody.
LA's set up for status differences.
Yeah, you're getting out of a yellow Lamborghini. Exchange. I'm not expecting to meet the most humble yeah. individual.
Let's connect.
Yeah. Look at this. Look at this well-balanced individual.
Yeah. We have similar values.
Yeah. But like, why am I using my energy for that? That's where I'm disappointed. It's not that like, oh, I'm some of it's shortchanging relationship or getting to know somebody. But that can be diffused just by meeting them. You judge comedy.
Always, yeah.
You judge everybody from their act or how you see them behaving. But then you meet somebody like, oh, I was ready to think you were a jerk.
Yeah.
And then you're not. It's like, what was that energy for? Why did I use up any bandwidth with that?
I know. I think the mind is scanning for threats all the time. And yeah. now that there's no physical threats, now that like your friends, the plumbers and the electricians have set everything up so good.
Yeah.
now it's all social threats and status threats.
But what's a true social threat? Like if you're happy with who you are, there's no status threat.
Right.
There's no social threat. So that now I'm like, oh, I'm not happy with myself. Fuck, that's the root of it.
But isn't it?
Yeah.
And do you not want to deal with that? Or are you like, oh, fuck, I thought it was your hair.
Yeah.
Turns out it's my hair.
Yeah. Or lack thereof.
Yeah. I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, is that I'm with you in terms of what a time waste it is. The hard part is the looking at your relationship with yourself, which is what I'm interested in. It's like,
well, as a therapy junkie, would you say that, like, how often do you have to be that way for it to be a problem versus days where like I'm learning the difference between introvert and extrovert, like the true, like, oh, it's just where you get your energy from.
Yeah.
I always thought introvert meant I hated people. I'm like, I yeah. don't. I can be totally yeah. social at a show, but when it's time for like, okay, I'm going to wake up, I have no plans, my first thing is like, let's see what somebody's doing. It's like, no, I have yeah. no plans. I'm going to play drums poorly. I'm going to enjoy my own company. And then because I'm doing that, I haven't had any negative thoughts. I haven't sat there unless I'm on the internet looking at what somebody said.
What do you guys think about me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Literally anyone, tell me.
Yeah. And that'll ruin it. Whereas like, yeah. oh, just by myself, I haven't jump-started that alone. It's always from some outside impetus. So is it a problem? Or is it just like, oh, I went out and that guy... Because I usually correct myself right away, too, because I'll see somebody that looks like a putz. I'm like, look at this guy. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Because he likes who he is and he wants to dress yeah. like a kook?
Is it like a reflex? Is it a defense mechanism?
I think it's like a jealousy of people that are so comfortable or seemingly so comfortable in their skin.
They will express themselves. They will wear a T-shirt of the thing they like.
Someone at ease is a threat. Like and it's the easiest thing to make fun of. The guy that I would see regularly on the hoverboard with big headphones and vaping, like fucking full bless. Cyber dork. But why? That guy doesn't give a shit. That's actually awesome.
I just saw him. He's wearing an Apple Vision Pro.
Of course he is. Of course he is. And we want to judge anybody yeah. wearing one of those.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that I bet if you tried it, you'd be like, this
is sick.
Fuck, I will not be seen with this on, but yeah, this but like, is awesome.
Yeah. Of course it is.
Yeah. So why am I threatened by people that like who they are?
Hello, Tushy. Want you to remember one thing. When you're spending time scrolling on your phone, it's not giving you peace of mind. It's giving you a hemorrhoid. Men spend twice as long in the bathroom, and one of the leading causes of hemorrhoids is prolonged sitting on the toilet. Wiping the toilet paper will only irritate your butthole more. The Tushy Bidet cleans your butt with a targeted stream of fresh water, eliminating the need for painful wiping. They sent me one. Here's the good news. I have an old, you know, I had a wonderful girlfriend got one for me probably 15 years ago. Didn't last. Don't worry about it. But I kept the bidet. It was a different brand. And it was probably over $1,000. This one, Tushy, is not expensive, especially when you enter promo code Neil. But my point is, it's a new day. Like, they figured it out. You don't have to get it from Japan. They make them here. They're good. I used the Toshi. It didn't take long to install. It wasn't demoralizing. I wasn't sweating. Super simple. And it worked. I don't want to get any specifics about it, but Toshi works. The Toshi bidet cleans your bum 2 times better and gentler than wiping with toilet paper alone. For the rest of your life, you can leave the bathroom sooner, feeling confident your butt is actually clean without tearing yourself a new a-hole. Do you get it? Stop wiping until you bleed. Join the 3 million butts who have already made the switch to Toshi. For a limited time, our listeners get 10% off your entire order when you use code NEAL at checkout. That's 10% off your order at hellotushy.com, promo code Neil. It uses fresh water, same as your shower sink, same from the bowl. I've been talking about, I didn't have a promo code. Now I do. Promo code Neil at hellotushy.com. Just do it. Guys, are you tired of your classic rough and rigid jeans crushing your nuts? Are you wearing oversized jeans that make you the laughingstock of the office or bar? Is your wife tired of you wearing sweats or khakis, God forbid, because you hate wearing jeans? Well, today's sponsor, The Perfect Jean, finally solved all of your denim difficulties. They make great-looking, perfect-fitting jeans that are as comfortable as sweatpants. The secret? A special denim fabric that's super soft and has the perfect amount of stretch so you can squat, do yoga, or just sit around all day in them without ever wanting to take them off. They make 6 fits from skinny to thick. That's T-H-I-C-C. It's cooler than we used to just say fat. Now we say thick. Thick is like when they go like, when they spell November, like N-O-V-M-B-R. And you're like, whoa. They have waist from 26 to 50 and have lengths from 26 to 38. So big boys, short kings, tall dudes, and all the rest, they got you. For a limited time, our listeners get 15% off their first order plus free shipping at theperfectjean.nyc or Google The Perfect Jean and use code NEAL15 for 15% off. That's N-E-A-L, then the number 1 and the number 5, which makes 15. For 15% off. Look, I'm going to cut right now to me wearing the Perfect Jean. It sounds like I'm sarcastic. I'm not. Perfect's a big word, and I think in this case it's pretty apt. I'm sure I got the right size. I'm not going to say my size is on the air because that's proprietary information. But just know that, you know, the kinds of pants I've talked about, the kind of pants I wear, they were comfortable. They were stretchy. I've been doing a thing recently called horse squats. You can look those up where you just hold a horse pose like you're riding a horse for about... I'm up to 60 seconds. They worked there. They worked walking around, going to get Thai food, of course. And what else do I do? That's about it. I do horse squats and eat Thai food, and then I'll watch TV. It's finally time to stop crushing your balls in uncomfortable jeans by going to theperfectjean.nyc. Our listeners get 15% off your first order plus free shipping, free returns, and free exchanges when you use code NEAL15 at checkout. That's 15% off for new customers at theperfectjean.nyc with promo code NEAL15. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support the show and tell them we sent you. Tell them Neil sent you. Fuck your khakis and get the Perfect Jean. Neil15, Neil15, Perfect Jean, Neil15. Sounds like a Bryan Adams lyric. Who's Bryan Adams? Neil, I'm young. Well, Grandpa's going to tell you all about him right after this. How has your relationship with yourself changed? I don't know. It seems like pretty safe child environment, like to be a kid.
Yeah, I've had no major obstacles. And that you want here's a block. Because I don't know if it's a Catholic thing or whatever. Well, something bad's got to happen. And the longer something bad doesn't happen, the worse the thing is going to be.
Oh, it's compounding.
Oh yeah, it's definitely
it's building up.
There's definitely a spiritual tax that I feel like. You always say like, oh, this person had a hard childhood and then this happened, another motivational speaker. But if somebody's just 50 and everything falls apart, you never hear from them again. Like, oh, that was too much. I'm taking myself out of society.
It was too much in the wrong time.
Yeah.
Because he don't have time to.
I didn't have a skill set built up to deal with hardship. And there's a little bit, and I'm not going to be like, I have a trauma kink to try and develop it. Or what victim mentality, I guess, is the term where everything's the worst. So there is that kind of a shadow.
That you're
a shadow
worried?
In the corner of the room.
Are you worried for yourself?
worried about what it's going to be or how I'm going to deal with it, because I haven't had anything in my upbringing or my experience to know how to deal with that. And you can't fake that.
I'm with you. I think I've had this argument with people that grew up poor. Mm. And just have like a rough sort of outlook on life. And it's like, people will figure it out. I think like it won't be like Gilligan's Island, which was a TV show, where it's like my jewels. Like people are gonna get hard quickly.
I don't think you have to bleep your age if you're gonna reference
Gilligan's. Of course not. I think I just told on myself.
Yeah.
I saw it first run, by the way. I wrote on it on Gilligan's Island.
Too much. Bleep that.
Yeah. But I think people will get it together. I think you'll figure out what, just because you didn't grow up on the plains and people weren't dying of scurvy and
I guess
infections.
It's a mix of being scared of having to deal with it, or what if shit happens and I deal with it, and what if I live a life of no tragedy?
Oh, what's going to happen to you when you die?
What karmically, you know, I'm going to get reincarnated as the worst in the worst situation ever.
Well, here's a question. What do you think? What do you think of Catholicism?
It's not. The religion's not a thing.
But but it's in there.
Oh, yeah. But the guilt part, I think, I can't blame it entirely on Catholicism. I mean, well, no, I can.
Well, you mentioned karma in one of these boxes, and I'm like, the idea of crippling concept of karma, or that luck is finite, and what if you've used all your luck? That is a very Catholic concept. And it is a very, or karma, whatever you want to call it.
Which is, I just thought it's a human concept. Like, that's so weird. Like, that's what religion can do to you, is it can fuck you up from childhood. Mm-hmm. And then you just think, well, everybody deals with this, right? Like, you know, it's the freedom of speech, not freedom of consequences. Like, living believing in yourself and being a good person is still not freedom from consequences.
Right.
I guess that's the kind of guilt. That's how you could juke somebody into being a nun or something, is like, well, are you so?
You really want to knock this out? Like, you really want to overcome?
Oh, lock me into service. Lock me into just being serving the good of the Lord. Because I am so, you've made me so terrified of the consequences of sin or enjoying my time on earth even a little bit, that just let me be a nun. Let me be a monk. Let me go into that. Because now I've isolated myself because I don't trust my own existence.
Well, it's how bad a thing could I do that would be worse than 70 years of service as a nun?
So you think like all nuns are secretly just serial killers that
I think they're doing what you're saying, like, fuck it, let me just knock this out.
That's the movie to write. It's a serial killer nun that just knows that that's what's in her capabilities, and so that's why she's removed herself.
Yeah, she's still in the black in terms of like she's morally still more.
It's oppressive because she's a nun, but it's good because it's a woman forward story.
No, it's a lot. It has a lot of virtues.
Okay, I'm an idea man. I don't write the scripts, but I come into town. No. But I throw out million-dollar ideas. I leave.
So you're worried about karma. You're worried about like it's been too good for too long. Some bad's gonna happen.
Yeah. It's hard to appreciate anything going well because there hasn't been hardship for perspective. And so why do I get this? Why do I get to be the comic that gets to pay his bills?
It's funny because you look so like you've always looked like you don't think things are going well and that things haven't gone well. Meaning, but you're just Irish or whatever, Irish and German probably. But like
Irish forward is really the attitude that comes out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're just Irish, but at the same time you feel like no, this is going really well.
Yeah, well, that's why the comedy is always like, I'm happy, but with trepidation. Like, I always approach everything like, I'm sure this is fine, but I'm not going to enjoy it 100%. And that's, I mean, I think I'll attribute that to Midwestern sensibilities, too, of like, oh, something's good happening. Don't get used to it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like this.
And you know, but you
do you think you deserve? It's all about what you deserve.
Yeah, it's you think you're so great. You think, and yeah. It's like,
and
it's,
I think I put
pride in, cometh before the fall and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I think I put in the work. I think I put in the miles to get where I am. So maybe I'm accepting it a little bit more. But I'm accepting, I think I'm getting exactly what I should be getting for the amount of effort put in. I don't think stand-up should be elevated at the level that people are holding it right now. I think it's a service job. And I think it should be rewarded as such.
$80,000 a year plus benefits?
No, we could do a little better than that.
Okay. Buck 30?
All right, you know, solid, you know.
For middles and then the headliners.
Yeah, yeah, solid feature. Solid yeah, feature, yeah. Buck 30.
Yeah.
Clock around two a year for headliners.
Two in benefits.
Yeah, $250 if you're really, you know, you're getting all five shows you out.
With overtime.
If you're adding shows, all right, I'll give you three. But then cap it there. Cap it at that.
But you're jealous.
Yeah, yeah.
You're jealous.
I'm not giving any of my money away.
Right, yeah.
I mean, but I'm not like doing it for free. I'm not like, so like, nope, all proceeds. I'm eating it out of the dumpster later. Like I saw those punk rock kids too. And I'm like, I like having some things.
I think part of aging or maturity or something is just accepting like, no, I think comedians there should be a ceiling on what we make. And also give me more money.
Yeah.
Give me more stuff and give me more money. And you just like, both of those are true for me.
Well, since we're already allowing this much money to be floating around, I think I should have a slice of it. But if we were to start over.
And also, I don't like that hack making too much money. I mean, it'd be fine if I did.
And somebody thinks that I'm a hack, but they're wrong. I'm right about who's a hack. I'm again, the judgment thing. I'm always correct. Also, I'm always wrong and I hate myself. But also, I like who I am and my opinions are facts. So
what's the percentage of positive and negative emotions within you day to day?
I mean, I think it's also the strength of those emotions, like positive, like rooted positive emotions, like, man, things are good. I'm grateful for what's going on. I'm grateful for my health. Those are large emotions, and those are a big percentage. This
large emotions that you ignore, or large emotions
I ignore,
that,
but they're always there. That's the fallback cushion when all these little tertiary bullshit emotions of like somebody said this about me, I'm going to get angry about this. I'm like, wait. Pivot to the large emotions. So that's why all these little things. They'll consume me for an afternoon, so it takes a little bit harder to pivot back to the larger emotions that are positive. But when I do, I'm like, oh, yeah, what stupid little noise all this is. And like, can you laugh at how much you let this bother you?
Have you tried to work on your habits around it?
Yeah, I blocked a lot of social media on my phone.
Yep.
Now, because like Twitter sucks and Twitter, like I gave that password over to my management. Mm-hmm. Like, just use it for promos.
Yep.
I need to get away from it. I'm glad Threads sucks because it's like, oh, I don't even want to do this.
I forgot about it.
Yeah. It shows up. I'm like, oh, what is it? Oh, yeah. Get it away. Instagram was like silly. And now that's getting tainted. You know, it's getting ruined by the bots and the trolls.
You're racist, but towards bots and trolls. That's how it sounded like. You know, we used to have fun and then the bots and trolls came through.
Yeah.
And it sounds like Mexicans and whatever.
It just sounds more like cops. I don't think that's right. Yeah. This place used to be where we partied till the cops came. Like, that's why I'm going to go more that way.
I like the Mexican. I like racism.
All right. Well, again, my opinions are facts. So what I said was better. Fuck. So, that'll get to a point of disgust where I'm like, all right, I'm out.
Did you consciously do all this stuff for good emotional hygiene?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. It's tough because
I did the same thing, by the way.
Were you like aligning value with like, oh, a tweet did well, or somebody said this to me? And like, my human mood.
I was.
And it's
a lot.
Fucked, right?
Yeah. And then I found myself doing it last night because I had to download it to post. And I was like, just stop it. Don't do it. Like, what? Why would I I go in the DMs. I'm like, why am I opening up a meet and greet?
Don't you have, like, you've got people. Here's the password.
Right.
I would like this to be on Twitter today.
Yeah. I don't like delegating that. So I've just like kind of cut off all of my, but whatever. So I'm with you in terms of were you, is that something you've gotten better at? Because it's something I've definitely gotten better at of like, what's hurting me? Let me stop.
Well, I would compare it to, I used to smoke. I used to be a real heavy smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say my fingers were yellow. My breath stank. I had a horrible smoker's cough. And I was like, you bought this. Not only do you have all this making you wildly unattractive, you also paid for it. You paid a premium for this. Let's look at it that. Hey, look at this coughing, smelly nightmare. Oh, he's actually subscribed to this. He's actually has a daily amount of money. Yeah. He spends it. Like, that's fucking ridiculous. And so I would look at my mood or how I was behaving or how I'd feel so pissed off. And I'm like, I walked into that. I let this happen. This isn't the world happening to
it's
me. I went, oh, can I feel
choice.
Like shit today over nothing?
Yeah.
Over nothing I can change? Not like really had to remove myself and look at how this can go one of two ways, but like this, how disposable and temporary everything we do is and our existence is. Now that could sound like the most bleak. Like, well, then why not go shoot up a mall?
Right.
If there's nothing after this, you know, the whole, if there's no God, why would you not be a piece of shit? Because I still have a moral compass.
Yeah.
But more so like these things are taking out. We have limited amount of time on this planet. And this isn't me trying to tell, this isn't a speech to tell somebody else. This is what I have to tell myself.
Yeah.
We have such finite amount of time. And then you got a whole afternoon of being pissed. You could have just gone for a walk. You could have done anything else. Watch TV even.
Well, it's like parenting yourself where you're like, hey, little guy.
Yeah. Let's look at
47-year-old little guy. Let's not look at comments.
Look at the thing. Look at the glass you threw, because a guy who might not even be real said a thing that nobody else saw
bot
either.
Bot or troll to you, me.
Yeah,
it sounds like a bot or troll.
It should sound like one of these goddamn
bots or trolls. See?
Bots are coming over the
My boat. Premise no, is pretty good. It ain't cops. It's Mexicans.
It's always Mexican.
Yeah. And that is, I had a thought when you were talking about, I was just thinking about why did I always think that you were like sort of enduring hardship? And being Midwestern is a commitment to like, it's like we traveled. So it's like an immigrant story that never ends.
Yeah. We could have just gone. We made it over an ocean. What if we just keep going
like
towards the West Coast?
We came from Slovakia and then we go to, and it was hard and we had to walk and then we get on boat and we sit in the carriage and we're vomiting.
But the river stopped people.
Yeah, no. And then they get here and they're like, Florida, like, no, let's go to Cleveland where we can continue feeling sorry for ourselves.
Is it still cold? Does it still kill crops and livestock?
That's all we deserve. Like, we go there and it's just a continuation of this like self-pity hardship. And probably it's like doing it, there's probably some Catholic about it of like self-flagellation.
Oh, there's definitely like a location or a web. But again, it's camaraderie. I was always like, sports are stupid. You're all getting together to root for a bunch of guys. I'm like, it's a sense of camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you know you got to work at 8 a.m. after shoveling snow off your car, just like everybody else that did, and you're all just like, this shit. But we're all here. Why am I going to get mad at you? We already did the thing that sucks today.
Yeah.
Now let's enjoy each other's company, because we already have a shared misery, and that bonds people.
Yeah, it's so, I really think I understand the Midwest. And I grew up in Chicago for like 9 years. So like, my family, like, it's not like I'm like, what is that place? I understand now what's happening.
Yeah. And the summertime when every single neighborhood has five block parties going, mm-hmm. it's like, we know this isn't going to last. We are out and we are having the best time of our life because we're not leaving, but we're all like, I mean, you go to a bar when it's like miserable out. And the few people are in there, those are your best friends. Like, you still wanted to come out.
Yeah.
You still wanted to have drinks and shoot the shit with whoever might be here tonight. You know which coat's yours? You're leaving with a different hat, different gloves, different scarf. They're all in the corner.
It's a commitment to shared misery.
Yeah. But then that's not miserable.
Right.
So
it's kind of cozy.
So it's kind of, but that is this, that, that's a weird that in my 40s, I had to realize that's what rooting for a sports team was, is that if they lost, you all shared the loss. You all walked out to the parking lot angry about it. If they won, you all shared the win.
It's us. It's just a tribe.
Yeah.
But it's what are the values of the tribe? In sports, it's like whatever.
It was a little too bro-y for me.
The so-called character of the team. And
yeah.
And then if it's location, it's like, fucking it floods here. Or it snows here.
Yeah.
Or fucking hurricanes. Or the avalanche. Fucking avalanche. It's like a shared enemy.
It's having an accomplishment without having to do anything for it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm from this place that's terrible. Well, what if you move? Well, then my personality goes away.
Yeah. My whole personality is predicated on being opposed to a certain weather pattern.
Oh, God. John Roy has a great joke just about being in LA or something. Well, it's not like that, but that New York pizza. Then go back.
Yep.
Nobody told you we were running out of comedians or actors.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime somebody's in LA, like, well, I got to be here for work. Were we running low on you?
Yeah, we're good.
Were we running out of whatever it is you have to offer? I'm pretty sure we're not.
Go ahead and call the airline. Let them know you're going to need to move your flight.
I'm the only one auditioning for this? Crazy.
Yeah. Guys, warmer weather leads to funkier crotch. Grab some Mando whole body deodorant and nip body odor in the bud. Nip it in the bud. Put it on your pits, package, feet, and beyond for whole body freshness. From the makers of Lumi deodorant, Mando is clinically proven to work hard all day. Instead of covering up BO with heavy fragrances, Mando stops odor at the source, stopping the stink from happening in the first place. I call it preventative stink prevention. Spring into the season with a deodorant that can handle the heat. Here's a special offer. New customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code and link. Use code NEAL at shopmando. That's shopmando.com. What do I like about Mando? Good news, I'm wearing it right now. Can you tell? You probably can't tell because some of you are just hearing this. But you know that it's pretty nice. I put it on my pits. And I put it on my feet a little and the back. Don't worry about why. I put it where it needs to go. Okay? Put chest, stomach. It's good. I generally don't have a horrible scent. After a few days, I do. But then I shower and it's good. But Mando, throw some Mando on top of that. It's not filmy. It's not gross. Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping. Luckily, I have a discount code to help you get hooked on my favorite smelling whole body deodorant on the market. New customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code that equates to over 40% off your starter pack. Use code NEAL at shopmando.com. That's shopmando.com. Use code Neil. It's time to smell better naked. You'll thank yourself. Your family will thank you. The people that ride in your taxi will thank you. The people that you deliver for, everyone's going to thank you. Or you might just get some like, what is that? And you'll just go, it's Mando. Throw it away. Don't go, it's Mando. Just give it like a, it's Mando. Like sort of confident, a little smug. Bye. What did you want and did you get it? And are you still trying to get it?
No, I got it. Stand up is the puzzle that doesn't get finished. There's no edges to it. And so that, like, just to have that, I was going to do that anyway. Like that, I just found the purpose. I was going to be a warehouse manager that recreationally has the thing. It's, I know you don't want to keep talking about stand up, but it does define, a lot of my motivation. It's not just like tell jokes, get laughs. It's like it colors how I move through the world. Can I change? I'm not on all the time, but everything's getting processed into like,
mm-hmm.
maybe it was because I'm not writing scripts. I'm like, I just do stand up. And so I was going to be like, I was like pub sports. It was like darts or billiards. Here's the thing that you're going to go to a bar but I go Thursday nights. We got league night, you know,
that's what stand up is.
That's what it looked like to me. Like this will be the thing that I'm excited about. And then a few people that are good at it, they might get to the next level. But for the most part, here's my gang of people doing this. This is our night out. I still want to be good at the thing, but here's my social group that I'm not looking for elsewhere. So I was probably going to be like, you know, move my way up in warehouse or whatever job you get because you're, you know, not at the rock bottom IQ and can fill a hole in a company somewhere. That's what I would have gotten. And I would have just still been doing stand-up, I think, because I love it.
Yeah.
So it moved up into this place where it's my job. So I got that thing. I got that part. And whether it sounds dumb, I didn't have goals of like a family or these like this American dream type thing. I guess the American dream thing is like doing what you love and paying your bills. So I got that. I have a partner that I love and it's been 10 years and that's amazing to me. And she's the one who like helps me like, hey, why are you mad today? Because you looked at your phone. What if you just don't look at your phone? Nothing's happening on there that's going to change the world right now.
Yeah.
What if you just put it down? For her to like be patient with that instead of being like, oh, this idiot's yelling at Instagram. I'm going to split, you know? So I got that. And so now, and making me list these things off has just got that other shoe waiting to drop just right there. So thank you for this.
That's why the cancer's building?
Yeah, something's going wrong. Something. What is that? Is that a lump? I don't know. I did change some lives. I mean,
Midwesterners can't have nothing nice.
I'm vegetarian. I go back to the Midwest and I just have to like quietly eat sides at Thanksgiving. I'm like, don't bring it up. I don't need to hear shit.
Yeah.
Don't bring it up. I still love casserole. I'm not vegan. I'll still eat all the cheese you could throw at me.
I'm sure.
Just, you know. So I do. This is the gratitude. And so that's. Because the stand-up was like, well, life sucks, but let me try and talk about it in an optimistic way. I can still find things that are frustrating, but it's not disingenuous.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like, oh, and then I'm broke. I'm not broke. I'm not going to falsify my life for stand-up. So that's a challenge in its own right. If you're going to talk to people that aren't, like, life is shitty for a lot of people out there. And the reason I got my career is because I related to that. And I'm still trying to be relatable. But like, I understand that there's frustrating things in life. But maybe here's how you can look at these. Here's some perspective on when something's frustrating, you can kind of flip it into this. So that's where I think there's still relatability and there's still a lot of meat on the bone left to do the kind of stand-up that I want to do. And so I'm grateful for that. So, yeah, I'm... Listing all these things make me realize how petty I am. Here's this shit, and that's pissing
right,
me off.
But again, that's this. I've been on gratitude for a couple months. It's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah,
like I make gratitude checklists every day,
really?
Several times a day, four times a day,
just to like
because
check
I was
in
talking to Rainn Wilson about. I was saying like Islam, you got to pray five times a day, and I was like, that's about the right amount.
Yeah,
that you got to remind yourself of, like, no. Fucking be a good person. and then he goes, well, why don't you do a, and I was talking about gratitude, and he goes, mm-hmm. why don't you do a gratitude journal five times a day? And I was like, fine. So I just do a checklist of like remind of the facts of what's happening in my life instead of the sci-fi dystopian sci-fi I write about what I think is happening in this person and they said, and they think and did it. And it's like,
a much richer story though. The dystopian sci-fi has so many more interesting characters and plot twists.
Of course. Yeah. This is pretty much like crickets.
Yeah, because afterwards you're like, yep, things are great. And you're just like.
Yeah. But
isn't a lot of fun.
Right. But I'm not buying the thing of like, and therefore I'm going to be smited by the Lord.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
I don't think anyone can understand what anything spiritual or what's actually happening on earth. I don't think we can understand it. So I'm just going to try to appreciate. If I were a God, I would want people to appreciate what's good about their life.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want them to be constantly worried about how I'm fucking them or I'm going to fuck them or any of that stuff.
Where are you at spiritually with
I'm
higher powers. And
I am.
Like that.
I was an atheist. I drank ayahuasca a number of times. I became a not a believer. Like I felt a thing
mm-hmm.
that hasn't left.
Yeah.
And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm just like, I don't know. It's just what I believe is happening. And part of the gratitude thing is just going like, this is excellent. I got to shut the fuck up. I don't have real problems.
Yeah, there's connecting tissue out there. I haven't done ayahuasca, mushrooms, you get little glimpses of it.
Yep.
That's like that because that's why I'm wondering like what type of omnipotent God would like put a plan out there and watch it get misinterpreted and be like, I guess
every religion's a misinterpretation.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like so I don't think they're wrong. I don't think they're wrong that there is a higher power. But I think after the first sentence, it's wrong.
And you should. No, no.
Yeah, no, 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 no. Shut the fuck up. No, no, just there's a higher power.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but, and then, but what about fish? Shut the fuck up about fish. No one needs to know about meat. And so I don't get lost in the thing of like, well, then how do you? I just, I'm of the mind that it's above our consciousness to have any sense of what's actually happening. And I'm just going to accept what I see is happening and appreciate it.
I guess I'm fearful of, like, I don't want to lose all the cynicism because that's where the fun is. Nobody like goes out at a bar to have a cigarette and talk about the things they're both grateful for.
I agree.
And then this fucking guy, believe they're doing it? And that's the, those are the fun conversations.
Those are when you laugh with somebody. Also, it's so ingrained in me and you and a bunch of people and like people that I think it's like, I just had the balance wrong.
Yeah.
I just had it like not 99% that and 1% like, well, yeah, there's probably, I don't know. Yeah, no, that's cool to have done that. Like, I guess I'm lucky a little, but I work hard, all that shit.
Do you ever think that you've gotten too much for your success? Like, is there like out of the gratefulness, do you think?
I literally had the thought or wrote in the checklist. It's not a journal, guys. If you call it a checklist, it masculinizes it.
It does. So, I was going to say journal. Yeah, whoa.
Fuck, please.
I ain't
no bot. I wrote, I couldn't compensate for how great my life is.
Yeah.
That's a total 180.
Yeah.
There's nothing I could do. There's no volunteer. There's no amount of volunteer work, which is great because it lets me off the hook. I've already told myself there's nothing. I couldn't. I mean, why even try?
I just make a checklist and then that's it. That's all I can do. There's a soup kitchen about checklists. I can't.
There's not enough soup. Like that's where I've come to is like this is insane.
We're working at a surplus.
Yeah.
That's what, like, and it does buy my laziness. Does it ever purchase laziness for you? Like, I like mountain biking, and the whole thing is like, you got to ride these trails. You should go dig on these trails Saturday morning. I just donate money. I'm like, I'm not getting up on Saturdays.
I
go dig in the mud. I'm like, I will donate top tier of I can to this trail
system.
And
you do it anonymously because you're classy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nobody knows. Except for right now.
Yeah.
Which probably, I'm betting your podcast has more followers.
Who that Rockefeller who gave $80 to the dirt bike trail outside of Portland.
It's the most that the website
I want to give more. Yeah. It's their Venmo's fucked up.
Yeah.
I was going to say the postscript to there's nothing I can do to compensate is like all I can do is work hard at the thing.
Yeah.
Let's say the talent is a gift. I think you're an asshole if you don't cultivate it.
Yeah.
That would make me the asshole if I didn't cultivate it. So that's the, so I do, I think I work as hard, maybe harder than I have.
But the gift being funny or knowing how to put it into scripts.
Either one.
Putting it into stand-up. Because that's where I'm like, being funny is a personality trait. And I've said it in the past. Like, I am an asshole because I'm trying to capitalize on it. I grew up with it.
Again, this is like Midwestern, like, see, this is wrong. You shouldn't. What are you, a pretty boy? Hey, Mr. Hollywood.
Yep. I've said it before. You know five people that are funnier than you that have never done stand-up. At least five people.
I don't, but I see people. I don't, personally.
Nope, never met them.
Sorry, you got the wrong guy. But there are people on like, where the people tweet or whatever, and you're like, that's a fucking insanely good observation.
Yeah. And people that just don't have the desire to try and make
right, but
it
I don't
thing.
Think they're more noble than me. I don't take the Midwestern step and be like, see, he's the salt of the earth. I don't
think it's noble. I just don't think they didn't have that. I gotta be a star.
Yeah, but fucking Beethoven. I don't know. I'm not gonna judge Beethoven for wanting
I
to.
Will. Here we go.
Yeah, go ahead. Let me turn my mic off. No, I'm for wanting to be Beethoven or thinking he had he should write compositions. I'm not gonna be like, well, look at this fucking showboat.
He was deaf, right?
Yeah, he was deaf. So right there. So that's Midwestern.
What if he got a hearing aid and like remastered all his stuff and it sucks?
Like what?
Like, oh, buddy.
I the gratitude is amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's like soft or queer or whatever. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's hard to talk about it publicly because I think public consensus is you should be more bitchy about things because it sounds arrogant.
It's the I've covered that also, which is like I'm not saying I'm saying everyone should do it. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying like it, I'm not going to fall into the trap of like easy for you to do. You have X amount of you have that kind of car. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But so do you have some car relative to somebody else.
The
or if you're on the bus,
game,
you're not. You don't have to put your wheelchair on if you're only a paraplegic. What about the quadriplegic? Like there are levels to literally everything.
That's the old Stanhope thing. Just because somebody else's sucks doesn't make my suck any less. I can imagine talking to somebody I know with three jobs. Like, hey, in between your DoorDash deliveries, you should write a gratitude list.
Well, but what's funny though is like it works better than complaining.
I know, but I can't tell them that.
Yes, I'm telling.
This isn't a trickle down advice
I get it, but I'm saying it works better than bitching. It just does.
Oh,
it works on your brain better.
But it's who you're receiving that message from.
Yes,
like we can't sit here and tell somebody.
But I actually think we're better messengers because we're like giving people a way forward. Like in that, like I'm the depressed guy from Netflix, and I'm telling you. That two ways, drugs and gratitude.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty cool. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's like, look at this. I'm not Oprah. I'm not fucking Tony Robbins. I'm just saying like, hey, this is a thing I did. It's as good as any as Zoloft or Prozac or any of
I know.
That shit.
I still, and then maybe this is my own short. I still look at like, oh, I'm not going to go to the bar later and be like, have you thought about gratitude? Like I can't be the messenger for it. Just like I was saying, how like I'll like talk with my mom, like just because something works for me, it's the framing of the message, which is what informs all the stand-up. Hey, this is what's working for me. If you'd like to try it, I'm going to tell you how it works for me.
Yeah, I'm not saying like you have to do it or there's a I'm just telling you like it's a thing I started doing and it's pretty wildly effective.
It is secondhand therapy speak has been it's been pretty prevalent the last 20 years.
You think?
I think with and especially maybe it's moving to LA and like more people accepting that like therapy is not a stigma.
Yeah.
You know, it's all shit I've talked about.
Well, that was that thing you said earlier, which I was going to say, that thing about love language and attachment style, I could take or leave.
Yeah.
Introvert, extrovert was very like personally helpful.
Yeah.
Because it made you feel like, oh, I'm not an asshole. I just am like, I just am not energized by groups of people.
And if you grew up where I grew up and like somebody, if you went to therapy, like what happened?
Yeah.
Molested? Like there's something catastrophic happened. And it's so, and that's still ingrained kind of, that's still remnant in my head of like, oh, so I'm talking to somebody. I've tried to start therapy a couple times and it just doesn't take. I'm not knocking it. It just I haven't seen the rewards from it. And I guess conceptually I'm still stuck in this, like, I'll get it. I'm doing the same thing I grew up with. Like, I'll handle it. I want to get this done. I'll handle it right now.
Yeah.
Or I'll ignore it and push it all down and it'll manifest into something in 20 years.
And one of these ulcers I've been
turn
counting
into
on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how I look at
therapy. I'm
with
you. It's like, well, then who are people going to listen to? I can't worry about how, I mean, obviously you do worry about how it'll be received, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know, something pretty regular about both of us in different ways. And like, we're both telling like, this is a thing we did. And it is a bit like, hey, have you ever gotten a massage before? You know, like massage in the 70s probably was just like, I don't like people touching me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't. And then you go like, oh, this feels good. Yeah. Or like snuggling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't snuggle. Like, what are you, Archie Bunker? You can't be grateful?
But a massage right away feels good. Therapy is like, well, it might just take a couple years. You might have to talk to five different therapists. I'm like,
therapy,
I don't have this.
No, therapy. Therapy, the problem with therapy, there's a few problems with therapy. One of the problems is there's not enough types of therapy that people are offered. So they just go, okay. Is it just, I go to an office and talk, and that's one type of therapy.
Yeah.
And within that, there's five kinds of therapy, or 10.
Tell me this, is it fucked up to think in terms of therapy, like, yeah, some people love to find a good mechanic and other people want to learn how to fix their own car. Is that not an apt
I think
analogy?
It's, I think it's a fine analogy. I think fixing your own car, in some ways, that's what I ended up doing with, I call them medicine, cops call them drugs, right? Yeah. Ayahuasca, DMT.
I'm not a cop, so MDMA. You can call them whatever you want to call
tell
them.
Your outfit. tell your cool Portland guy outfit.
I also enjoy all that medicine.
infiltrate. Yeah. Antifa outfit. So I've done those things, and that fixed my car because I kept going to a mechanic, and I would say, like, it's in my body. I can't keep talking about this. And lo and behold, after sort of really fucking taking a hammer to the engine.
Yeah.
Well, and like a real, like, this car is in trouble for a few months, and then it coalesced into a better version.
Without beating the metaphor to death, I used to always think, like, trying to find a therapist. I always was judgmental on therapists in LA because this had to be like striking gold if you're a therapist. Because not only are you mechanic, but everybody tried to put together their own car. Like, oh, of course, this is a city full of people.
Or they're also trying to run. They're Flintstoning their car. Yeah, like, if I'm just industrious enough, I can be. Yeah. It'll masquerade as health.
So you could just live here as the worst therapist in the world and still have a full calendar.
Absolutely.
So that's why I was kind of suspect of trying to find a therapist in L.A. Because I'm like, oh, this is.
Well, yeah, and everyone in the Midwest is constantly being cheated.
It's like being
tricked.
A spin instructor here. Like, oh, you're gonna get a job.
Yeah, there's something. It's possible to judge about therapists.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm not embarrassed because I've been so cynical.
Okay.
Like, because I've been like atheist and I've been.
You've been that guy.
Pitch black attitude. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, well, and also, if there's no way forward, it's nothing sadder than an old punk.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
Like, you don't. I'm not saying you got to become a folk musician, but I'm saying. Like,
but that didn't develop otherwise.
Yeah, it's like so you're just in a dead end and you're just fucking doing sad donuts in a cul-de-sac.
That was a big lesson in the midst of playing music and everything, was secretly learning about how all these guys and bands that I admired were also getting their shit together. They weren't hiding it, but they just weren't being loud. The one band that I love is a band called the Bullweevils, and they're still playing. The singer, like, oh, canceled a gig. Why? Oh, because the singer's doing his residency. I'm like, wait. He's a what? He's a duh. Hold on. We could do that? I thought we were all supposed to, like, let our teeth fall out and let nine people in a punk house or something. Like, oh, he's a doctor. Oh, shit. Life is still moving.
What about the man?
Yeah.
Does he fuck? Is he like a cool doctor?
Yeah.
Does he do like, is
that's
he like,
the thing. He's like, yeah, he's,
is he homeopathic at least? Does he believe in some alternative?
No, and he's taking a lot of shit too. Cause he was like the billboard for, like, he's like, I'm a doctor. This is a pandemic. Wear your fucking mask.
Yeah.
You want punk rock? I'm a doctor. Wear your fucking mask.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can believe whoever you want to believe. I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
And, I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
But just like that people are like, Like, you know, when you're younger, you're so desperate to have something define you. Like, were you an atheist or were you a loud atheist about it? Were you like, atheists are usually also like, it's like veganism. You're going to let somebody know, that old joke, you know?
Yeah. I always said my atheism was like, it was like when a little kid runs away from home, but they make a big deal about packing. Like, all right, I'm putting my shirts in. And I was waiting for God to be like, Neil, wait. And I'd be like, what? All right, fine, I'll come back. It was all like
the actually guy.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I would commend your growth. And I think you didn't have that much to do in the first place.
Yeah, nothing sinister was going on, which is, again, when there's no opposing force, what's your personality? What's your purpose? What are you doing? So I've had to like try all these things.
I have a suggestion. You could just enjoy being Kyle Kinane.
I think that's where I'm at. I mean, I still listen to all the punk rock stuff.
No, of course you got to.
Musically, I just like it.
Yeah, fine.
I can't listen to sad music. I can't listen to like, I'm like, I'm by default, if I'm listening to music, I want to be in a good mood. And then music that's like so moody, I'm like,
yeah,
then I won't listen to music. If I want to be moody, there's not
I'll
music
I'll go on
playing.
Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, I'll find it. It exists.
Yeah, it's like, but that's the commiseration thing. It's like, well, what if I don't want to be miserable?
Yeah, yeah.
Listen to something else. It's fine. You're not a bitch ass sellout for being like enjoying life.
I don't need somebody to come punch me in the face after a show. Like, there, now you got some material. Like that kind of thing.
Like, yeah. Like, it's.
I don't need any help.
Enjoy it. Yeah. Life's hard in and of itself, wherever you live, and enjoy it. Just enjoy it. You're allowed to enjoy it.
Yeah. I like comedy, still frustrates me, and I'm so happy that it does.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So hard.
That's why it's awesome.
Yeah, that's what's so interesting about it. It's like, fuck, I'm not even better at this.
No. It's still the same blip of like the first joke that worked and then goes away. You're like, I'm still trying to get that.
Yeah, it's like you can be a mountain climber when Everest still doesn't have enough oxygen.
Yeah.
Or kill any of these. It's like,
also not going to be easier the second time.
That's what I mean. Like, it's not, you still have to, it's still the same amount of difficult. It's not like, well, no, I know. No, it's your lungs don't care. Your lungs don't have experience.
But I'm also, that is the thing that keeps me, again, to go back, but like, what happens to the people that don't have the thing?
What happens if you
go to your work and your bills are paid and you come home and you sit and you watch TV?
Enjoy yourself. I hope they have a fucking blast.
Yeah.
Because cancer's coming.
Yeah.
But not for moral reasons. It's just coming.
No, but you read like the list of like, this is what people in hospice care say their biggest regrets are. And I have that saved on my computer. I don't write my own gratitude list, but I definitely go back to that.
I read obituaries. I try to read them fairly regularly.
But that's not written by the person. I want to read what somebody at the end of life going, I wish I didn't work so much.
Yeah.
I wish I would have loved people better in my life.
Yeah.
Like that's the checklist of like, I can do that stuff now. I can do that right now.
Yeah.
And
it's like, go ride more dirt bikes.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I think, again.
Enjoy it. Don't be a dick. Don't make it worse. But also, there's no crime in like really trying to enjoy this weird, whatever.
Finite experience that can be amazing and it can be a lot of things.
Yeah.
But you gotta say it's pretty unique in terms of what you were doing before you were born.
Do you think that's what we go back to is like the state of like you don't know anything that existed before you're born, and then when you die, you won't know what's...
Yeah, I think we go... My medicine experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
It's incomprehensible, but then in the next thing, you have a consciousness that allows you to understand it. But our human consciousness is like, I can't, what? Don't, it's like you don't have you don't speak the language.
So maybe fish are the true enlightened beings. They've already had the trials and tribulations of this. Now they're like, oh, now I'm just part of the system. I conquered.
Yeah, they have
taxes, they and fashion, have enough and love and loss.
They have enough consciousness to be a fish.
Yeah, no. Now fish knows its purpose. I spawn. I swim upstream. I get eaten by a bear. I don't have to worry about all this other shit of like, oh, what are these shoes in style? Do I need an electric car? Like they don't have to worry about any of that. Oh my god, I just got a bone, and then upstream in a bear's mouth, and then after that, you get to be a cloud. I think maybe that's it. We're looking at it like that's de-evolutionary. Maybe that's we go in the other way.
Yeah, or there's some other, the universe is fairly massive.
Yeah, your purpose is provided for you.
Yeah, it's like you just go to the next thing and then you have like the consciousness for that realm.
Yeah. Bears aren't hibernating because they're depressed. It's like, no, I do that and then I go and I hunt.
Yeah, I don't think about it.
Yeah.
I just do that and I don't. But we're too...
We're burdened with consciousness.
I told my girlfriend, we all have all these decadent emotions and decadent, and they're all just born out of the fact that everything's mostly set up
things
for us.
Too easy.
Yeah, and then we just fucking, we're supposed to be hunting and farming and killing and
yeah,
like trying to build a fire. Instead, we just
Do you think that's some of the culture right now is why it's like MMA and like a Joe Rogan elk hunting thing is like to try to go back to that?
Yeah.
Like, is that a fear of having all these emotions?
I don't think it's going back to it. I think it's just in us.
Connecting to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like men just have a lot of testosterone.
Do you have a desire? How do you channel it?
Status competition.
So it's still like a not alpha the a term, but like I need to beat somebody else. That's the only competition I ever had was like going to a stand-up show and being like, I need to be the funniest person on the show.
That's it. I think that's what I have. It's the same. If I'm going to do, I like there is a drive.
I mean, 10 kids will also keep you
sure,
in keep a you competitive honest. Sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but there is a drive to like, I want to win this. I don't want to be in a competition that I'm fucking losing at.
Yeah.
Like so I'll either change the competition. I'll either be like, well, I'm not, let me do like emo stand up. Oh, I'm a winner over there. And then now I've like slowly come back to like regular stand up and I can win more regular.
Okay. Yeah. That was the alt scene that came up was the.
And then like, and then, yeah. So, but it is, I would say that's how I funnel it. Or I'd say that's the expression of the like sort of primal thing that I'm aware of.
Okay. You don't get like any macho stuff coming down on you or like, I've got to lift that thing. Mine is fixing things now. Mine is like proving I can do this. I still have to use YouTube for it, but
no,
fixing
that's
a plumbing issue or
I
doing
get that.
Electrical.
I literally
work.
Recently had the urge to cook more, and I was like, I feel like that's some expression of there's something primal.
You're providing. It's a tangible skill. What we have is not a tangible skill. So being like, oh, also, look, I made food that's edible. Because otherwise I'm reliant on everybody else.
I would argue that what we provide for a tribe is very valuable. Meaning, I was saying to somebody the other day, the guy who could do an impression of like four animals in cave times, they'd be like, okay, go. All right, great. So then we're going to eat and then fucking he's going to do...
Yeah,
he's been working on some new animal impressions and it must have been fucking revelatory if you could really do of elk or a squirrel or whatever. It must have been like this guy is like a god.
But that us. Okay, in the now that does make me think in the sense of how like storytelling was the way things were passed down.
Yeah,
the best storyteller got to direct the history of that
of the,
tribe.
You, and the values.
Yeah.
And the what's worthwhile.
And now it's TikTokers. They will tell the story of the human well, race.
But again, that's just decadent. We don't have enough problems, so we go we have to do.
But I was laughing at the impression thing, but like, okay, that does show that like somebody that can entertainingly capture the history of a group. Because I want to look I want to look at the actual skill sets that are like, you know, everybody's gone through their version of a joke about like, well, if the apocalypse happens, I'm fucked because I'm a comedian. Like, yeah, you need the hunters, the farmers, the doctors, the, you know, all that stuff. Comedians.
Right.
Pretty far low.
No, yes.
Documentarian. Humorous documentarian. Yeah, we got to re... I don't know
why you're going after documentarians. But what I'm saying is the thing about stand-up or being funny is you can do it in person. Like you can sing, there are things that are really valuable to tribe, like, or whatever groups of people that aren't, again, I know it's the Midwestern thing of like salt of the earth and they, but also there's the connecting, like we're connectors in a weird way.
Art and entertainment is valuable. Art and entertainment is like, what do you do? How do you turn off?
Right.
At what point do you allow yourself to turn off? Like, it's for this other stuff. It's for this stuff to be like, oh, now it's my turn to be entertained. I've worked hard.
You get the meat and then we'll eat it and then we'll all be kind of bored afterward.
Yeah.
And then I'll do my part.
Yeah. Dessert's unnecessary, but you still like a dessert. Somebody still works hard to make a dessert.
Right. Pastry chefs. Put that on your list of salt of the earth people.
Us and comedians and pastry chefs, about the same.
Yeah. But I don't.
Value
but even, yeah, like sugar. Yeah. sugar's kind of useless, but like I would argue that the guy who could entertain or woman who could entertain must have been like, it's a valuable thing.
Okay. I'll believe in myself. I just want you to
enjoy yourself. Kyle Kinane, everybody. Goodbye.
Did we fix it? We fixed everything.
Yeah, we did.